Is a new illegal mining bill powerful enough to reach the kingpins, or will it only catch the Zamazamas? With me is Richard Tellen, an independent governance expert. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you for having me, Chris, and hi to the viewers.
Richard, about 7 years ago, you wrote an article in which you made several suggestions. Some of those have now been incorporated in this new bill. How do you feel about that?
Well, I would say 7 years, 8 years ago is quite a long time. I think for me, it's finally something is happening, you know. And one of the key things I argued was we can't arrest our way out of this. And I think that becomes quite clear in the new bill. However, having said this, 6 years later, you know, the syndicates have only gotten richer, more violent and more organized. But I would say the bill closes a legal loophole. But for me is that the frustration is that we've lost almost, you know, half a decade while the problem, you know, gradually increased.
But what would this bill actually change?
Well, it's quite interestingly, I mean, for the first time in South Africa's mining history, illegal mining itself is being defined as a specific criminal offense. If you would look at it, previously prosecutors had to rely on charges of trespassing, possession of gold-bearing material. And that was quite a legal loophole, and the bill aims to fix that. We also see that the fines move from 250,000 to 100 million. Prison sentences grow from 10 to 30 years. And I think the most interesting part of it is that it not only criminalizes the people underground, but anyone who assists in the illegal mining chain, from the drivers to the financiers.
So you think the kingpins will not remain untouched?
Well, that's what the bill aims to see. But, a bill on its own, it won't solve the matter. You know, the implementation is what matters. But the way it's put out is that we target the whole chain. Because if you look at it, we've seen arrest of 60, 70, you know, illegal miners, Zamazamas have been arrested. And the following week, they are back. Different people underground. Sometimes we might have one, two individual a bit higher up the chain, which are defined as kingpins, which can be, there's some ways to see whether they are, but one kingpin goes, the next one will take over. As long as the chain is still there, we need to get each and every criminal actors involved in the whole chain.
This bill gives the South African Police Service new powers. How would that work on the ground?
Well, it's quite interesting because it inserts a new section, you know, section 91A into the mining law. This officially authorizes police to carry out compliance functions. But I think most importantly, it excludes routine inspection and issuing compliance notices. That stays with the Department of Mineral Resources, because we have to remember illegal mining falls under the Department of Mineral Resources, mining generally. So the police have an enforcement mandate, but compliance notices looking at whether the mine is still operating, it's the health and safety standards, all of that still remains with the Department of Mineral Resources. If you would remember at a conference, the minister said that this was requested by NAD joints to help with operations. But I think the real question is, does SAPS have the resources, the training, and the intelligence capability to actually do that? We've had 6 years or more. I mean, by the time I wrote the piece, the research I was doing, it was still prevalent, not to the level we see today. But I'm not really convinced as yet that we are ready.
That is why some people argue that the army should be deployed permanently. What do you think?
I think it doesn't solve the problem, right? We can have the army because it costs resources, it costs money, right? And we've seen that currently the Defense Force is going through a funding challenge, right? I think, was it yesterday or 2 days ago when Musim Maimane came out, and in one of the interviews he said that the president has finally signed some funding that the Appropriation Committee made available. But I would think this is this enforcement method lies with specifically the SAPs. It's not only about enforcing, it's about gathering intelligence, right? I would say, you know, you can enforce the law. You can go, you can arrest people, but you need the intelligence to be able to trace the value chain. I call it the value chain, you know, from the illegal miners to the one they sell the gold to, then who gets the where the gold gets laundered. And then they get transported to various places and they even leave the shore. So you need broader mechanisms than just, you know, enforcement. So unfortunately, yes, the army might help for a short period of time. We've seen that in other instances, right? The biggest talking point around deploying SANDF is in the gangs related areas in Cape Town, for instance. And we've seen mixed immersions there. We've seen that very little has had happened. So I would say that might not be the real answer to addressing this challenge.
How much is illegal mining costing now in comparison to when you wrote the article?
And I would say it's quite, you know, organized crime per se is very difficult to actually get a fixed number, you know, and unfortunately, sometimes we can get quite fixated around the figures, right? But back when I wrote it, it was around 21 billion rand that's, you know, being taken out of, you know, what could benefit the economy. Today, we've seen some estimates, including from PwC, they put it as high as 70 billion rand. So in the 6 years that it took government to draft this bill, the problem has more than tripled if we look at it in monetary terms, right? But beyond the money, I think we're talking about sinkholes. We're talking about environmental degradation, water contamination. We've seen damaged infrastructure. We've seen what explosions have done, you know, recently in the West Rand. And also we've seen a rise of violent crime in mining communities. Day in, day out, week in, we've seen on the news, you know, gangs, Zama-Zama gangs fighting each other and innocent individuals and people getting caught in the crossfire. But the one thing is the cost is enormous and we've been paying it while waiting for the bill to come through.
Mm. When will it become law?
Right now, the bill is open for public comment until the 11th of September, 2026. So at this point, anyone can email submissions and they even provided an email address, fbfbyatjustice.gov.za. After that, Parliament will process it. There will be debates, potential amendments, and then finally, it goes to the President for signing. I'm not sure how long that takes. We've seen some bills that take forever before the president to sign. He even at one point joked that he was looking for his pen to sign some laws, right? But at this point, it is not law yet. And I would urge that it is time for civil society, mining communities, and also the industries that have been pushing for such changes to the mining law and to address illegal mining to have their say. I think that's what I would do. After 6 years of waiting, I'd urge everyone to engage. And I think this is the right time.
Is there anything about this bill that you would like to change?
I think the first thing, I would is strengthen the provision for tracing and prosecuting the violent chefs. These are, for me, other kingpins. I think we would need dedicated financial unit to focus on mineral smuggling and the power to follow the money cross borders and cross-border intelligence sharing as well. And I would also pair enforcement with real economic development plan for the mining communities. I said it 6 years ago, and I'll say it again, that poverty and ruthless syndicates are equally responsible. And I believe we have to fight both.
Does this bill do anything to address the poverty that drives some part of the Zama-Zama boom?
No. Unfortunately, you know, that's... Unfortunately, it doesn't. And that's, as I mentioned previously, it's quite a big challenge, you know, because at the end of the day, people are pushed into this, into illegal mining, not because they want to. Some are forced into it by criminal networks, criminal syndicates, but others just have lost their jobs. And the only thing they know is mining. And that's the one way that, you know, they can deal with it. We've seen talks about, you know, legalization. And I think the bill does make a step towards it, where it differentiates between illegal mining and illicit mining. And, you know, more people that can get their license to mine legally. Even that in itself is a challenge because there's a lot of process. There's a lot of resources that is required to achieve that. So, but in short, the bill does not address the poverty. I think that rests with other departments, which I believe do have to come on board with that so that the plan does not rest only on enforcement, but also on social development and community economic development of these mining communities.
Mm. Any other comment that you'd like to add, Richard?
I would say it took government quite a while, we know, and we don't, you know, we know that it takes time for government to put a bill out there to address it. I would say I'm grateful, and it's quite commendable that government has finally come to the table. But the time that it took, it seems that illegal mining has gone from a regulatory headache to a national security crisis. I would say the law gives us the tools, but the laws don't enforce themselves. As one commentator said, if we don't go after the kingpins in Sandton, if we don't address the poverty that drives people underground, and if we don't give our law enforcement the resources to do this work properly, we will still be in the same position 6 years later. And I would like to emphasize that this is not a tool and not a solution. It's a tool to address it. It requires political will, resources, and finally a genuine commitment to the communities that are caught in the middle.
Thank you. That was Richard Chellen, independent governance expert. Speaking to BizNews, I'm Christine. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you very much.
Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox. Sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.